The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
If weight management is one of your New Year goals, Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier can help. This science-backed formula supports metabolic balance, curbs cravings, and promotes healthy blood sugar levels, making it easier to stay consistent and in control. It helps give your body the boost it needs to keep you on track. Feel confident and energized this year with Quiksilver Scientific's GLP-1 Amplifier. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Manchester United put up yet another remarkable victory at home against Fulham FC. Manchester United are on a 3-game winning streak, particularly in Premier League play, but it's still safe to say that we should not get carried away because the question still remains, is Manchester United for real, or is this momentum going to go cold again very soon? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Into the Net FC. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And I got to tell you, the way Manchester United picked up the win, well, what was once a 2-0 lead for Manchester United quickly turned into a 2-2 stalemate when Fulham FC surged around the end of regulation. But somehow, someway, Manchester United kept it together. They kept their concentration. They were still in a way to win, and they found a way to win. And what I mean, they were still in a way to win. All that time and stoppage time gave Manchester United exactly what they needed. I mean, to see a game just end so dramatically, but end so clutch for a team like Manchester United, that win over Fulham FC really honestly has to show what is the character of the team so far. I mean, ever since the return of Michael Carrick, the team all of a sudden looks different. But we've seen, once again, we've seen Manchester United briefly embark in dominant forms of winning, only for the team to fall right back into disappointment, mediocrity, and most of all, obscurity. So I really don't know what much to say. Is, again, the question is, can Manchester United keep it up? Well, Manchester United's next game is going to be against Tottenham at home. So that's going to be yet another ultimate test. Now let's keep in mind, Manchester United did in fact go on a 3-game winning streak under the management of Ruben Amorim, if I'm correct. That's what the research told me earlier. And of course, one time under the management of Erik ten Hag, Manchester United at one point was on a 5-game winning streak. So in other words, we have seen this before. And we've seen Manchester United fall right back into the category of disappointment. So again, as I probably asked 3 times already, can Manchester United keep winning? Well, Manchester United is in a good position so far in the Premier League. And I still say so far because there's still a lot of football left to play. Manchester United is in 4th place in the Premier League, but they're only 1 point ahead of Chelsea, who's in 5th, and 2 points ahead of 6th place Liverpool. So Manchester United is not out of the woods by any means. Manchester United has something to fight for this season, and that's for a spot to compete in European football next season. So in order for that to happen, Manchester United has got to finish in the top 4 and finish no less than 5th place. And with still a lot of football left to play, Manchester United truly is in quite a predicament. So the question now is, can they keep it up? Well, that's been the same thing. So the question still is, can they keep it up? Well, we just wrapped up through match day 24 of 38. So there's still 13 matches left to play for Manchester United. So Manchester United has got to win and win and win and win in order to secure a top four spot in the Premier League in order to qualify for the Champions League next season. Now, we'll definitely talk about some of the other games, but right now let's go ahead and focus solely on Manchester United. I know that Internet FC has basically been all about Manchester United as of late. Because, you know, when Manchester United all of a sudden looks good, well, I might as well talk about it now, because if Manchester United goes right back into the depths of disappointment, well, then at that point, it'll be pointless. So I might as well enjoy Manchester United's dominance while it lasts, right? So obviously I've got my doubts with Manchester United. So, Manchester United, the 3-2 win at home over Fulham. Well, Manchester United coming in on a two-game winning streak, beating Manchester City at home and Arsenal on the road, Manchester United obviously looked really good. But again, as I said, we had seen them briefly embark in dominant runs, only for the hot streak to all of a sudden turn cold. Well, looking at the game, as I said at the beginning, after Manchester United had a 2-0 lead, okay, in the closing minutes of regulation, Fulham made it 2-2 in a span of about 6 minutes as well. So in a span of 6 minutes, Fulham went from being in a 2-0 deficit to being in a 2-2 stalemate. And interestingly enough, Fulham scored the game-tying goal in the first minute of stoppage time, and just about 3 minutes later, Benjamin Sesko scored the game-winning goal for Manchester United. And my God, was that game-winning goal beautiful. It was beautifully set up, and it was beautifully executed. You see, in my case, as a lifelong fan of the sport of football, okay, I have always been in love with plays that are beautifully set up and beautifully executed. From start to finish in a very beautiful fashion. I've always loved to see that in the game. For a team to set up a scoring chance and to finish strong. To start strong and to finish it strong. It creates great memories. It creates historic moments. And Benjamin Sesko, well, 19 appearances so far, I believe, for Manchester United overall, and he's scored 5 goals. He's been scoring some as of late, has he not? Manchester United, again, you know, and the fact that, you know, the opening goal was from Casemiro, and this is actually a play after it was thought that Manchester United was awarded a penalty. I think at first they were awarded a penalty, but since I only saw extensive highlights, I assumed that it was determined that no, Manchester United gets a free kick instead. And Bruno Fernandes takes that free kick. And Casemiro is at the right place at the right time, scores in a beautiful fashion. So the opening goal for Manchester United was beautiful as well. But I got to tell you, the game-winning goal by Benjamin Sesko was an absolute thing of beauty. And looking at Benjamin Sesko, well, he did not score in the game against Arsenal. And he did not score against Manchester United, but the announcer said that he had been scoring as of late. But, you know, looking at Benjamin Sesko's stats, well, again, you know, there's a 5 goals total, and that's in 19 matches, and that's in Premier League play. So in Premier League play, in 19 matches, Sesko has scored 5 goals and has even provided 1 assist. So Sesko has been contributing well to Manchester United. But as of late, in these 3 games, Manchester United has contributed and won as a team. All 3 goals from this one also came with an assist. Bruno Fernandes actually provided the assist in the game-winning goal. So Bruno Fernandes, who actually, I believe, leads the league in assists, now with 12 total. Well, he came in this game leading it at 10, and now he's at 12. Second place would be Manchester City's Ryan Cherki with 7 assists, and Jack Grealish with 6, who plays for Everton. So Bruno Fernandes, his unique ability to provide assists, even this season, with 12 so far this season, he provided 2 against Fulham, and it was in the opening goal and in the game-winning goal. And Casemiro also provided the assist in the second goal of the game for Manchester United. So in the 56th minute, Manchester United took a 2-0 lead. And then in the 85th minute, when Fulham was awarded a penalty, and Jimenez, who took his time on that penalty, well, he truly won that penalty in a brilliant fashion. Totally fooled the Manchester United goalie. So Fulham was back in it, okay? I mean, just because a 2-0 deficit is cut in half in the 85th minute, no. That is anything but safe. Because in the game of football, it's always important to be at least 2 steps ahead of the opposition. And just a few minutes later, in the first minute of stoppage time, Fulham had equalized, and that was pretty freaking bad for Manchester United. But Benjamin Sesko, just a few minutes later, 3 minutes to be precisely exact, if I'm correct, but just a few minutes later, Benjamin Sesko scores the game-winning goal, and once again, I just cannot tell you how beautiful that was. All 3 goals scored by Manchester United were beautiful. And the game-tying goal by Fulham FC, all that was absolutely incredible as well. So if I'm going to call Casemiro, Cunha, and Sesko's goals a thing of beauty, you know, I got to say the same thing for the 2 goals for Fulham FC. All 5 goals in this game, they were all absolute things of beauty. Well, that another reason is to why I love the game of football. I have loved it my entire life because there are players in this game that score in the most unique and prolific ways. All players score in their own unique way. In their own unique way, because I've said time and time again that a player is unique in his or her own way and they score in their own unique way. That's just how unique the sport of football is. And Manchester United and Fulham really put on a hell of a game. And they just showed us just how the game can go and that it's never over until it's over. That's what the announcer said when Benjamin Sesko scored the game-winning goal that put Manchester United up ahead 3-2. It's truly never over until it's over. So you have to play every single second of the game. Never stop. And Manchester United understood that exactly, and it paid off well. Wow. Both teams, 6 shots on target. So both teams were really trying to punch it in. Both teams were committed to winning the game, and by being committed, they were sticking to the fact that they had to score. They were trying to find ways to score. They were punching and punching and punching. Man. Now look at it from here. Well, 3 offsides combined. Actually, 1 for Manchester United and 2 for Fulham. Well, I could have sworn there was actually at one point where I think Fulham had 1 goal that might have been taken away. I'm not sure. But both teams were able to excel, especially on the counterattack, especially for Fulham, as they had 3 and Manchester United had 2. Now, I don't remember if it was a goal that was taken away by Fulham. I mean, I looked at the extensive highlights, but then my brain just kind of, I kind of lose my train of thought and I forget these little details. So I don't remember if Fulham actually had a goal taken away. I believe they probably did due to offside. Because I could have sworn with about 30 minutes left, Fulham actually supposedly had a goal, but it was taken away due to offside. So Manchester United had caught a lucky break. I feel like if Fulham actually had scored at that time and the goal had counted, man, Manchester United probably still would have been in trouble and the outcome of the game would have ended differently. But I still think Manchester United probably still could have won. And that's me being nice because usually I'm very skeptical of Manchester United. Well, both goalies had a combined 7 saves, 4 by the Manchester United goalie and 3 by the Fulham FC goalie. Man, and you look at the heavy defending, a combined 66 clearances combined. I think I said that. A combined 66 clearances combined. So, yeah, there it goes once again, losing my train of thought. But 66 clearances combined, 36 for Manchester United and 30 for Fulham FC. 17 interceptions for Manchester United and only 6 for Fulham. So it shows just how well-disciplined Manchester United was on the defense and also resilient, especially with the 36 clearances. But let's give credit to Fulham FC as well for 30 clearances of their own. So both teams were fighting tooth and nail, and you have to give Fulham FC credit that they did not give up despite being down 2-0, and you have to give them credit for scoring 2 goals in a span of about 6 minutes late in the game to tie the game 2-2. So you got to give Fulham credit for that, but you got to give Manchester United credit for not giving up and finding the game-winning goal just a few minutes after Fulham had made it 2-2. So we'll take a look at the starting lineup. Well, once again, I can't say just how incredible it is that Manchester United again, you know, scores all 3 goals with an assist. So Manchester United truly is excelling well as a team. As I mentioned, the captain Bruno Fernandes had 2 assists in this one. Mbeumo was deployed as a sole number 9 striker, and behind him you had the captain Fernandes, Amad Diallo, and Cunha as the 3 forwards. And in the midfield, you had Kobbie Mainoo and Casemiro. In the backfield, you had Shaw, Martinez, Maguire, and Diallo, and Lammens once again in the goalie position. And Lammens, the Belgian goalie, registered a total of 4 saves. Jimenez was deployed as a sole number 9 striker for Fulham. And behind him, the 3 forwards, well, both teams utilized actually both formations, the same formation. 4 defenders, 2 midfielders, 3 forwards, and a lone striker. So Jimenez was deployed as Fulham's striker, and behind him you had Wilson, Smith Rowe, and Chukwueze, and in the midfield you had Iwobi and Berge, which I hope I'm saying correctly. In the backfield you had Castagne, the captain Anderson, and then I can't say this player's name, Quensa, I believe, and then Robinson also as well, and the goalie was Leno. So I don't a little bit embarrassed, but I'm not really familiar with most of the Fulham FC players, although I kind of feel bad, and sometimes I feel like I got to cheer for Fulham because as we know, the owner of Fulham is the co-owner of All Elite Wrestling, and for me, a huge fan of professional wrestling, well, I feel like I got to support the club of the guy who owns the club because he also is the co-owner of AEW. Now, Shahid Khan owns Fulham FC, also owns the NFL's Jacksonville Jaguars, but he's also co-owner of All Elite Wrestling. His son Tony runs All Elite Wrestling for the most part, but yeah. Anyway, so Fulham gave Manchester United everything that they had, and you got to give Fulham credit for this one. You really honestly do. And Fulham came into this game actually coming off a 2-1 win over Brighton. So we'll take a look at the standings in a second, but we took a look at the lineups from right here. So, well, looking at the top players and the ratings, well, you know, as far as Manchester United goes, Casemiro, I think, got the highest rating at 8.2, considering that he scored a goal and provided an assist. But Fernandes, I believe, according to this, actually did not have the second highest. Cunha had the second highest, and Fernandes had the third highest at 7.5. But also Diallo was at 7.5 as well. I think the goalies, Lammens, you know, at 7.0 rating, I think is respectable. I mean, he made 4 saves as well. But I still think, you know, had a very respectful game, respectful performance in the game. Lenny Yoro actually came into the game as well. So Lenny Yoro, it was good to see Lenny Yoro come in. And Sesko was actually a substitute as well. So for Sesko to come off the bench to score the game-winning goal is a thing of beauty. So several players came in. I mean, Xerxes did not get off the bench. Mazraoui ended up coming in, and so did Manuel Ugarte. And of course, Sesko is the big story as far as substitutes for Manchester United anyway. So, well, you know, looking at it from here, one of the Fulham players who came off the bench actually provided an assist in the game-tying goal. As far as I'm concerned, you know, Jimenez was in the starting lineup, as I mentioned. He was the sole number 9 striker for Fulham FC, but a player by the name of Kevin actually came in and scored the game tying goal. So it's interesting that the game tying goal was from a player that came off the bench, a player known as Kevin, who's Brazilian, 23 year old Brazilian midfielder. So, yeah, a lot of big moments in this game. So, you know, Manchester United and Fulham, you know. At the end of the day, kudos to both teams for making it a very, very entertaining game. Now, as far as Fulham is concerned, Fulham is actually in 9th place in the English Premier League. Not too bad, but unfortunately not good enough to be in a position to compete for European football next season. Now, on the bright side, Fulham is actually at 34 points, and they're only about 6 points behind fifth place Chelsea. So I don't know if Fulham's going to be able to find a surge to come back to compete for a European spot, but I think for Fulham, the best thing is to stay in the top flight of English football. So I think Fulham is in a decent position. They're at 10 wins, 4 draws, and 10 losses. So, you know, conceding 35 goals and scoring 34. So I think Fulham is just basically right now at a respectable position. But I think, honestly, as far as qualifying for European football, unfortunately, I don't really see that happening for Fulham. Now, let's take a look at what Manchester United has moving forward before we take a look at the rest of the standings and the other games from this past match day. Manchester United will be playing Tottenham at home this week, and Tottenham actually just basically came down from 2-0 to settle for a draw against Manchester City. So I guess in a sense, I mean, that was a win for Tottenham, and we'll get to that game as well. And then after that, Manchester United will be on the road against West Ham, and then being on the road against Everton, and then having Crystal Palace at home on the 1st of March. So I think the next huge game for Manchester United is not going to be until April, until they take on Chelsea on the road. And then May 2nd, the day before my mom's birthday, Manchester United will play Liverpool at home. So I think, you know, Liverpool, so I think basically Liverpool, the game against Liverpool is going to be a challenge, but but I got to tell you, Manchester United has got to basically win. I would say if they could win at least their next, well, in the next 8 games, if Manchester United can actually get at least 7 wins in the next 8 games, Manchester United should be in a good position. If Manchester United can actually find a way to beat Chelsea and beat Liverpool at home, then Manchester United will certainly be in a great position. And by then, they'll basically be solidified in the top 4. So Manchester United has a lot still to deal with, but they have to win. They have to win at all cost. I don't expect them to win all the remainder of their games, but I expect them to find a way to be able to win as much as possible if they're to qualify for the Champions League next season. Manchester United cannot afford to go another season without competing in European competition. They can't go another season with no Europa League or no Champions League at all. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that recently they were knocked out of the FA Cup, and that was not long after they were knocked out of the EFL Cup. So Manchester United has one thing to compete for this season, and that's for a spot in European competition next season. They have to earn it. All right. Well, before I talk about some of the games recently, well, considering Manchester City had to squander a 2-0 lead and settled for a draw, and Arsenal got the win on their own, Arsenal is now 6 points ahead of second place Manchester City. So had Manchester City held on for the win, Arsenal would only be ahead by 3 points. Now, even though Arsenal is ahead by 6 points, Arsenal is not in the clear. They are absolutely not in the clear. But Arsenal is still on top. Now, Arsenal in their last five games include 2 wins, 2 draws, and 1 loss, which was at home against Manchester United. Manchester City in their last 5 games includes 3 draws, 1 win, and 1 loss, which was against Manchester United. Aston Villa is in third at 46 points, 5 points ahead of fourth place Manchester United. Aston Villa, their last 5 games were 2 losses, 2 wins, and 1 draw. And for Manchester United, their last 5 games is 2 draws and 3 wins, and they're currently on a 3-game winning streak. Same thing for Chelsea, except the difference is that Chelsea is on a 3-game winning streak after that loss, after one loss, I forget who it was against. Liverpool finally actually got a win over Newcastle United, having previously suffered a loss, and before that, it was 3 draws. So the last 5 games for Liverpool is 1 win, 1 loss, and 3 draws. Well, to take a look at Liverpool, they had that 4-1 win over Newcastle, and that loss that I was talking about was actually against AFC Bournemouth, that 3-2 loss. So, and later this week, Liverpool will actually take on Manchester City. So, Arsenal needs Liverpool to get the win in this one, but Arsenal needs to win as well. So now we get to the matches. Well, we'll talk about the matches. just got done match day 24. So Arsenal got a 4-0 win on the road against Leeds United. Chelsea actually rallied from a 2-0 deficit to win 3-2 at home against West Ham United. Of course, Liverpool had the 4-1 win over Newcastle. Aston Villa suffered a 1-0 loss at home against Brentford. And of course, Manchester United with a 3-2 win over Fulham. And Tottenham versus Manchester City. Again, what was once a 2-0 lead for Manchester City ended up being a 2-2 draw. And this game was actually in London. So, at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium in London, England. So this is obviously a win for Tottenham, especially considering that Tottenham is in 14th place with 7 wins, 8 draws, and 9 losses. So Tottenham is so awful. So this is a win for Tottenham. So it's embarrassing for Manchester City, the second best team in the Premier League, to lose to a lowly team like Tottenham. I mean, wow, right? Just wow. Well, Sunderland actually had a 3-0 win over Burnley. And I'll briefly go back to the standings. Well, Beck's actually fighting. My computer's already being screwy right now. Well, Burnley is actually in the relegation zone. And funny enough, West Ham United is also in the relegation zone. And Wolverhampton, of course, is the worst team in the Premier League. And Premier 18 losses. 18 losses so far for Wolverhampton. That's brutal. Sunderland is actually in a respectable spot. 8th place, 9 wins, 9 draws, and 6 losses. So Sunderland is in a respectable position. So far, a respectable performance in a season. So, and for Sunderland, the priority is to stay in the top flight of English football. So, yeah, it's that. So, looking at the games for match day number 25. Again, Manchester United versus Tottenham. Got my eye on that. Arsenal versus Sunderland. That should be no problem for the Gunners, but anything can happen. I do not expect Chelsea to come up short against the worst team in the Premier League, Wolverhampton. Now, this is going to be a road game for Chelsea, but I don't expect any issues for Chelsea. Of course, there's Liverpool versus Manchester City, and that's the game I'm looking forward to the most. Looking forward to Manchester United and Tottenham, but Liverpool and Manchester City is what I'm looking forward to as well. And like I said, Arsenal needs to not only get the win, but they need Liverpool to be able to get the win over Manchester City at Anfield. So, if Arsenal wins, and if Liverpool wins, Arsenal can increase their Premier League lead to 9 points, if I'm correct. Take a look at the standings once again. Well, Aston Villa is one point below Manchester City. So as far as I'm concerned, well, I mean, if Aston Villa wins and Manchester City loses, well, Aston Villa can actually possibly move into second place. And Aston Villa takes on AFC Bournemouth. So anything can happen. So Manchester City is actually in trouble right now. But Arsenal, much like Manchester United, Arsenal has to win if they are to secure the Premier League title for the first time in over 20 years. But this is the Premier League. Anything can happen, so whatever happens, we will believe it when we see it. I will believe it when I see it. Last thing I want to mention is the stat leaders. Erling Haaland remains the top scorer in the English Premier League with 20 goals. Assists, once again, is Bruno Fernandes. So, well, Erling Haaland continues to be Erling Haaland despite some games where he's apparently totally missing. But as far as I know, I think Erling Haaland will finish as the Premier League top scorer, but you know what? Wouldn't be surprised if that changed either, but I honestly do not expect it to. And, well, of course, you know, I mentioned Hugo Ekitike for Liverpool is actually in the top 5 for scoring in the Premier League with 10 goals. And Hugo Ekitike, well, his performance is actually doing something, is actually remarkable. And he's a 23-year-old Frenchman from Reims. Started his professional career at 18 with Reims, and I believe also actually represents France at the international level. So, you know, he made his debut for France last year. He's got 6 caps so far for France. Has even scored a goal. So, man, a lot of things happening. As a matter of fact, I believe a player by the name of Jérémy Jacquet was actually, I think, signed by a club from Rennes. Actually, as a matter of fact, Liverpool signed him. So, well, yeah, this has actually happened today. So, last thing I want to mention is that Liverpool actually made a defensive investment. and they invested in a defender by the name of Jérémy Jacquet. And he's actually going to be coming to Liverpool this summer. So Liverpool have agreed on a $55 million euro deal to sign young defender Jérémy Jacquet in the summer. Jérémy Jacquet, 20 years old, still in development, but he is showing early signs I'd be able to grow into a complete dominant center back. So I'm really happy that Liverpool has invested in an up-and-coming young French defender. So, you know what? He's headed here from Lille. So Jérémy Jacquet has the opportunity of a lifetime to arrive in one of the biggest clubs in the world at the age of 20. And according to ESPN, Jérémy Jacquet, his physical profile is exceptional, including a burst of acceleration, agility, pace over longer stretches, and a spring in his leap, clocked at a maximum speed of 34.5 kilometers against Lille this season. Man. You know, I think I might have gotten it wrong. I don't know if does he play for Rennes or does he play for Lille? So he does. Okay, no, he does play for Rennes. Okay, so I did get that correct. So Jérémy Jacquet. I mean, you know, and I saw this earlier when I was at work. I mean, 20 years old, and you know, obviously extremely talented. I mean, I hadn't even heard of him up until today. And according to Goal.com, Liverpool stunned Chelsea to actually make this deal. So apparently, Jacquet was actually linked with a move to Chelsea. I mean, in my case, to be honest with you, whether Jérémy Jacquet went to Liverpool or to Chelsea, I'm just happy that he is going into a higher environment of competition. So, 60 million euros, which is a total of $82 million in American currency. Man, 20-year-old is considered to be a long-term addition at Anfield, with big money agreements set to be completed in the summer transfer window. So I'm really happy that Liverpool made a decision to bring in an up-and-coming, rising French defender. I think this is the opportunity for Jérémy Jacquet to take his career and his skills and everything to the next level. And I can honestly say that if Jérémy Jacquet is able to perform at expectations at Liverpool, there's no doubt that he's going to be called up to the French national team starting next year. I don't think I see him being part of the French squad at the World Cup this year. But Jérémy Jacquet is only 20 years old, so if he's able to dominate at Liverpool in his first couple of years, there's no doubt in my mind that he will be part of the French squad at the next Euro. And with Zinedine Zidane expected to take over as manager of the French national team, well, if Jérémy Jacquet is able to impress Zinedine Zidane, well, right there, that is a career accolade. Ladies and gentlemen, Into the Net FC is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would please, hit that subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
You know that goal you set at the start of the year? You can still do it, whether you're committed to a through hike with friends, lifting heavier, or simply walking more. It's not too late to stick with it and make your future self proud, especially with the all-in-one nutrition shake from Ka'Chava. Because quality nutrition shouldn't be complicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your back stock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, simplify your progress with just 2 scoops of the highest quality ingredients. Stick with your wellness goals. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS. Ka'Chava.com, code NEWS.